This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got the national championship game coming up tomorrow night. Nova taking on Michigan for the whole shebang. And to talk about it, we welcome in Mike Rutherford, who joins us from SB Nation, also CardChronicle.com. Find him on Twitter at CardChronicle. Mike, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I have Villanova beating Michigan. I think it's going to be closer than the 7-point spread. At least that was the original spread. What do you have and why?
I've got Villanova, I'll say, slightly above the 7-point spread. It's funny, this is the biggest spread in a championship game since 2012, when Kentucky, I think, was a 6.5-point favorite over Kansas. And I feel like this is going to kind of be a really similar game to that one in 2012. Like, Villanova's not going to do to Michigan what they did to Kansas the other night, which is just beat the brakes off them from start to finish and have it never really be in doubt. I feel like Michigan kind of stays within striking distance for 40 minutes, but you never feel like Villanova's out of control. They are the superior team, I think, in just about every area. I think they assert that dominance on Monday night, and I'll say they win a game by 8 to 10 points, somewhere in that range.
What is the criteria for a dynasty to you?
It's a good question. I feel like you have to have I feel like you have to have as many championships as like the other biggest powers over a course of time. So Villanova, a lot of people are going to say if they win this game tomorrow that they've had one of the best 5-year runs in recent college basketball memory, and I think that's fair. Two championships in 5 years and then three first weekend exits, I think, is a little bit tough to justify if you want to use the term dynasty, because you've had other programs that have been, similarly successful over that period of time. I think Villanova's been the best, but if they've maybe won three championships or been to, four Final Fours in 5 years with a couple of championships, then maybe you could say dynasty. If they win next year, if they're able to come back and win back-to-back, and be the first team to do that in over a decade, then I think you start having that conversation. But right now, I don't think they're there just yet.
I absolutely agree. I was thinking 3 out of 4 years, and you took the words out of my mouth, so I'm glad we're on the same wavelength on that. We had John Schmelk on from WFAN, who covers the Knicks, and he had made a mention, he had said the name Jay Wright if they were to let go of Jeff Hornacek. What do you think he would do as an NBA head coach? And could be this, say Jay Wright wins it. He's won then two national championships at Villanova. Do you think that he might leave after 17 years of Villanova and head to the NBA?
Everybody who knows Jay Wright relatively well, the few people I know who are in that position, have said for years that he's just completely comfortable. He wouldn't look at any other jobs. He wouldn't look at Duke. He wouldn't look at the Celtics. He wouldn't look wherever. Everybody says that. The fact of the matter is you don't really know what a guy's going to do until that job's put in front of his face. So I never say never when it comes to coaching situations like that. As far as how well he would do in the NBA, I think he'd be closer to Brad Stevens than he would be to John Calipari or Rick Pitino, just because he's kind of been coaching the style that's taken over basketball at every level for decades now. If you talk to Villanova fans, they'll tell you that 2004-2005 team with Kyle Lowry and Alan Ray and Mike Nardi and those five guards that they played, they said they'll tell you that was the first team to really do what the Warriors are doing now, what the Rockets have been doing, what Nova's doing again this year, that spread them out, launch from the outside, make you guard five positions. Jay Wright's been doing that for a decade and a half now at Nova, and he's been doing it with a hell of a lot of success. So I think he would have success at the next level if he chose to go that route. Would he choose to go that route? I've got no idea. I would side towards saying no. But like I said, I'll never say never when it comes to stuff like that.
Mike Rutherford joining us, SB Nation, CardChronicle.com. Could you see this type of run coming from Michigan at the beginning of the tournament?
Yeah, just because, they were one of the hottest teams in all of college basketball coming into the tournament. I think they drew into a pretty manageable region, and that looked like before it fell apart. It seemed like they were going to have a pretty solid path to the Final Four. And then if they made it out, that left side of the bracket was much, much easier on paper than the right side of the bracket was. So it was possible to see this happening. I thought that they would have to probably play a little bit better offense than they have through these first five games. I'm surprised that they've averaged what they've averaged and still been able to make this. But they're also the first team in the history of college basketball to make it all the way to the national championship game without having to play a top five seed. So they've been very fortunate in that regard. They were very, very fortunate in the second round against Houston. They really had no business winning that game. That should have been the end of their run. They turned around. They played fantastic a week later against Texas A&M. But I still feel like this Michigan team, they've played their best game once. They've been really terrific on defense and really just sort of average to subpar offensively. They were okay against Loyola, but not great. They were downright bad on offense against Florida State and Houston and Montana. Terrific against Texas A&M. They're going to have to find that effort again if they want to have any sort of shot at beating Nova on Monday.
Mike Rutherford joining us on the show. I'm nervous to ask you this question, but I'm going to ask you this question. I felt bad. I guess I don't anymore because she's no longer the story, but I started to feel bad for Sister Jean because of some of the hot takes about her, that she was taking the focus away from the kids. The people were sick of her for whatever reason. So where did you come off of the whole Sister Jean story?
I'm with you. I mean, I was right after, I think, the first weekend wrapped up when Loyola punched its ticket to the Sweet 16. You know, I was thinking, this is great. We get a week more of Sister Jean. And then I thought, oh, my God, these heinous people across the world are going to just break this poor woman down. They're going to go back into her past and find some stuff. Mm-hmm. People are going to turn on her. It's going to be terrible. And I'll tell you what, like being from Louisville, being surrounded by Kentucky fans for the vast majority of my life, I was horrified that we were going to get a Kentucky-Loyola Elite Eight game and Kentucky fans were going to break her. They were just going to do awful things to her. It didn't happen, thank God. And I think it went about as well as we could have hoped for. She didn't get milkshake duck. Nobody found anything terrible in her past. People just kind of got tired of her after a while. But I love the Sister Jean story. I already miss her.
Please explain what a milkshake duck is.
The milkshake duck, it is this theory that there's no good meme, no good story on the internet that doesn't wind up looking dirty or bad or evil if you dig deeply enough. So somebody threw this theory out there that if there was this video of this duck drinking a milkshake that went viral and was seen by a billion people, by the end of the day, somebody would have found out that this milkshake duck was actually a Nazi or something like that. Like that's the entire theory there, that everything winds up being bad. Thankfully, Sister Jean, fantastic person. We didn't find anything terrible out about her. She's still America's sweetheart.
And she's still such a nice lady, and I just got so upset with people because I'm thinking, she didn't live 98 years as an anonymous nun just to take advantage of college kids. That didn't happen. But either way, real quick, what did the fans in Louisville think of Chris Mack being signed? Because it's a strong, strong fan base, and I thought it was probably pretty good, but obviously I'm sure some fans were upset because of the whole major upset that happened with him.
I think they're really excited about Chris Mack because he was one of the biggest names out there. He was their top choice, and they got him signed in less than 24 hours, really, after starting that search. I think they're more sort of excited about the fact that it's kind of done and that they can turn the page on what's going on the past 3 years and hopefully start clean. They're also, I think, a little bit relieved that they didn't have an embarrassing coaching search, because that's always a concern nowadays. You don't want a Tennessee football. You don't want a Pitt basketball where you go after a top target really brazenly. That person says no. The three names behind that person say no because they don't want to be the second, third, or fourth choices. They don't want that perception. And then you wind up settling for, I don't know, Kevin Stallings or something like that, and you've got to deal with that misery for a couple of years. So I think Louisville fans were excited to have that out of the way. But you also have to take into account this is a spoiled fan base. They've had two full-time head coaches since 1971, and both of those guys have won multiple national championships, and both of those guys are in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. So those are the shoes that Chris Mack's stepping into right now.
CardChronicle.com's Mike Rutherford joining us on the show. So for you, it's just a question of when John Calipari gets figured out over at Kentucky.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. I think he's done a great job. They're doing great. I mean, a lot of top recruiting classes, a lot of preseason number one rankings, not a lot of postseason number one rankings. He's got the one. That's good for him. But I'm not casting any aspersions here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm not doing that.
Mike Rutherford joining us on the show. Is it hard? I mean, I find myself, I'm in Ohio. It's hard for me to root against John Beilein. It's all class, and now I still, I've gotten used to wondering what's wrong, almost in my own milkshake duck, where I start to wonder what's wrong with a lot of coaches and start to look for something that's seedy in their past or something that we're going to find that's seedy, because we've had a lot of coaches that have been, you know, darlings and have really been looked up to in college sports, certainly over the last 15 years, and it's always turned out to be a sham.
Look, yeah, I totally agree, and I never speak in absolutes about these guys, even the ones that I've sort of talked to for stories or been around over the years, because you never really know 100% about these guys. You can think you know. You can see 95%. You can talk to their inner circle, people around them, but you're not with them 24 hours a day, so you can't fully be sure. I will say, as far as John Beilein's concerned, your colleagues over there, CBS Sports, they did an anonymous poll, I think it was last summer, where they polled 100 coaches in college basketball and asked them a bunch of different questions and gave the results. And one of those questions was, from the power conferences, who is the cleanest coach in the entire sport? Who does things the right way, goes completely by the book? And John Beilein got 26% of that vote, which is a remarkable almost majority out of the people vote. I think the next highest was Mike Bray from Notre Dame, and he was like at 9.8%. So if Beilein's not clean, he's fooling everybody in the sport. Everybody seems to believe he's doing it the right way. He says the right things nationally. He's really easy to root for. He seems to have, I think, kids who just love playing for him. I'm with you. It's really, really hard to root against John Beilein.
Mike Rutherford with us on the show. So, again, in closing, you have Nova plus, I mean, you say by 10?
I'll say somewhere between 8 to 10. So I'll split the difference there. I'll say Nova by 9 tomorrow night.
Ooh, so I should lay the 7 from what it was looking like at the onset of this, or outset.
Look, if they've been an absolute wrecking machine throughout this tournament. I wrote a story yesterday talking about how similar the run has been to the one they made 2 years ago. So in fact, so similar that they've scored the exact same amount of total points through 5 games that they did 2 years ago, 424. So it's either going to be another relatively easy win for them, or it's absolutely going to be a buzzer beater like it was 2 years ago. Definitely one of the two.
All righty, Mike, I thank you very much for the time. All the very best, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Mike Rutherford, joining us. Check out his website, cardchronicle.com, also an editor at SB Nation, saying that he'll lay about, what, 8 to 10, and he will take Villanova. I'm taking Villanova. I think it's going to be close. I think I might take Michigan to cover.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.